welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for June 25th. I'm John Gibson, and along with me, as usual, is my buddy Jim Allen. What's happening, man?
Hey, buddy. Now that I'm your buddy.
You've been my buddy.
That feels good.
You've been my buddy, even though you don't write, you don't call anymore. It's like, yeah, I think I complained about this last week, but I'm going to meet you for lunch tomorrow, so I've solved the problem.
Yeah, you can get better than that.
I won't
I'm
wait for
my nose is a little stuffy, and my voice is whinier than usual.
Only in your mind.
Oh, I'll be sure to leave some fine California wine out there for the listeners tonight.
Well, hopefully by the time we meet tomorrow, I'll have some Kings paraphernalia to wear tomorrow. But
you can see that.
Who knows? Who knows? Only if Mr. Mailman comes by really early. this week we got an interview with Super Scout Dave DeFreitas of the Cleveland Indians, and we're going to talk about the Interleague MVP and touch on a few other topics. So let's start clearing the bases. All right, just before we start, I want to thank Michael Westbay again for all he does for the show, and hopefully we're going to have him on soon. And I have to say that last week's upload was an amazing experience for me because I wasn't at my computer as I normally am. I dropped the file into Google Drives online, and then I sent the coding to myself for the blog site, and then I used my iPhone to cut and paste and uploaded it from the doctor's office in Tokyo while I was sitting there waiting to be seen. It was just, you gotta love technology, man.
I need a dictionary just to follow you, and I'm a tech person, kind of, sort of.
you're more so than I am, but it was kind of amazing. So
it is. It is pretty amazing when things work. You know, we're so used to things not working.
That's true. We set machines up to do what we tell them, and the first thing they do is stop listening.
No, or do exactly what they tell them, which is half the problem.
All right. Well, it was great to have Dave, to sit down and talk with Dave, although we did it via cyberspace. And he sees a lot of young players firsthand, and we've had some young players who, quite frankly, I don't think a lot of people know where they came from. And they're contributing and producing well so far early in the season, so I wanted to talk to him about that. He goes to a lot of the high school tournaments at Koshien. He goes to college games. He goes to corporate. Which do you like to call it, corporate league or industrial league?
Corporate league.
All right, he goes to corporate league ball games. So he gets to see these guys and see the raw tools and evaluate them before we see them in the pros or even I guess we could say on the farm. I haven't seen any farm games this year. I don't have time anymore.
You've seen farm games.
I have seen farm games. Well, especially Lions games because they were so close. But I also went to see some Fighters, and I've gone to see some Yakult Swallows games.
I haven't seen any in a while, but I enjoy that. It's nice because you can actually hear the coaches screaming at the umpires.
That's why you want to go so you can hear the coaches screaming at the umpire. You don't want to hear what they're talking, what they're saying to the players.
Well, you usually hear that with a ring of a bat against somebody's spine.
Oh, come on. You're terrible, but I don't know.
They'd always hit them with bats because that, you know, they get in trouble for doing that stuff.
That leaves a mark. You learn to do these things. But the only injuries are internal. Anyway.
That's right. Keep it inside.
Dave's good at evaluating these guys, and he really brings some insight. And every time I talk to him about a young player, he gives me an outlook for what that player could be. And he does this in this conversation, in the interview. He talks about a couple of young players and what they might develop into. So let's go ahead and check out the discussion. All right, our special guest this week is Dave DeFreitas. He's the Pacific Rim chief for the Cleveland Indians, a scout. He's been in Japan for how many years now?
About 5.5.
5.5 years doing good work for the Cleveland Indians. So thanks a lot for joining the program again. This is the first time this year, so thank you for coming on.
Yeah, has it been that long since the last time I was on here?
Yeah, it's been a while, bud. It's been a while. You've been ducking us. So we want to talk about some of the surprise young players who are making an impact for their teams this season. I want to start it off with Shota Dobayashi of the Hiroshima Carp. He's an infielder. And this is a kid who is a second-round pick. I think he's 21.
I believe 20, 21, something like that.
And what are your thoughts about him?
Well, I saw him when he was in high school. He was the same class as Kikuchi Yusei.
Mm-hmm.
The big lefty for Cebu.
Cebu's farm team.
Right. Well, he was the big lefty for Cebu. I always liked his swing. I liked his hands. I thought he had a little bit of bat speed that separated him from the rest of the pack.
Uh-huh.
Seeing him in high school, I saw him against Kikuchi actually back when Kikuchi was thrown real hard. So yeah, he has a pretty nice swing. I like his hands. He generates some bat speed. He sits back a little bit better than most of the young guys that I see.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing him in high school actually against Kikuchi, back when Kikuchi was throwing 150 around there,
uh-huh.
He was really the only guy that was able to match up with him.
It's interesting that you say that because I really like his swing too. And I thought even for a thin guy, he's a really really kind of scrawny little guy in terms of meat on his body, but he generates a lot of power with his swing. And you know what his swing reminds me of? Is Hayato Sakamoto with the Giants.
A little bit, yeah. They have similar hand action. They're both rangy kind of athletic kids. Dobayashi's got some room to fill out a little bit. I think he'll be pretty good. That's not really a secret for us scouts in the States what he's going to end up like. So.
And what are you thinking that he's going to end up like?
Be a guy that's going to play third here and be a bit of a power guy.
What's making him so successful? I mean, he's not great right now. He's at 267 or so and, a few home runs, and he's driving the ball a lot. I think he's doing well in terms of making contact and not striking out too much for a young player, which is good. But what's going to make him successful going forward?
His athleticism, and it seems like he's a pretty smart kid. I've never talked to him, but he's able to make adjustments just based on what I've seen at a very young age, and that is good for anybody, regardless of your athletic ability.
Okay.
You got some athleticism in there, and that's when you get guys in their early 20s having success.
All right, another surprise player is a pitcher over with the Lotte Marines, and that's Yuhei Nakaushiro, a left-handed pitcher. He was a second-round draft pick. Now, what's good about his pitching? I mean, what do you like about him? He's had some success this year as well.
He's always had pretty good raw stuff, but command has been his issue, and he's managed to find it so far this year. I'd be kind of on the edge of my seat wondering when he's going to lose it again if I was with Chiba, but...
Right.
but he's always had very good stuff, and it's just a matter of him being consistent with his command, which he's doing right now. So.
Yeah, I mean, his whip is kind of on the high end. He's in 20 innings, he's got 21 hits that he's allowed and 13 walks, so he's over one. And his ERA is kind of on the high side, but still, he's striking out guys. He's not getting hit too hard in terms of extra base hits. So, I thought he threw a little bit harder than I did see him live once. I remember I did see him live, and he threw harder than I expected. Does he really throw that hard, or was that just a good day?
In college, I've seen him a lot more in college than I've seen him this year. But he got up pretty good in college. So I don't know. Offense is down across baseball, Japan and in the U.S. So if a pitcher with pretty good stuff can put it where he wants to, then he's going to have that kind of success.
Okay, let's go over to the Yokohama Bay Stars and a kid named Sho Aranami, an outfielder. He's a third-round pick in 2010. But he, as we talked about before we started taping, he got his batting average was in the 300s right when he qualified for the batting race. And so all of a sudden he appeared at the top of the Central League in batting, and then the past couple weeks he hasn't been producing as much, but what's good about his game?
He's a guy that's got some speed. He can, play a little bit center field, and, even in industrial leagues, he had some success there as well. But, short, quick swing, slap guy, he's been able to barrel some stuff up recently, and he's pretty aggressive on the bases as well. So that's translated into some success for Yokohama.
These slap guys, I mean, is he a guy we're going to look at and that's all he's going to be, or you think he's going to develop more? I mean, he doesn't look like he's going to be that much bigger than he is now, and he's not going to be smooth from his heels.
Yeah, I don't know. Body-wise, I think he probably is what he is. But, you know, you can't really put a cap on how strong a guy can get, you know, especially over here with the ballparks being a little bit smaller.
Uh-huh.
You know, some of these guys can get stronger and start popping some stuff out. Especially in Yokohama, I mean, that place is a bandbox.
The only thing I didn't like about him is that he only has, he doesn't walk very much. He's striking out a lot more than he's walking, and that doesn't bode well in terms of, you know, team success. Six walks he's got in 180 at-bats, and he struck out 35 times. Now, the 35 strikeouts and 180 at-bats, that's not too bad, especially for a young guy
who's
getting his first shot.
You know, he's a young guy. He's been in the league. I think this is his third year.
Yeah.
And his second year where he's actually playing. So, I don't know. I mean, I'd rather have a guy be over-aggressive than not aggressive enough.
Okay. Let's go back to the Chiba Lotte Marines for a quick second and talk about Naoya Masuda. Now, he's a pretty hard thrower, right-handed pitcher. Mm-hmm. And
hard thrower, but yeah.
He's not that hard a thrower. I thought he was. I remember the one time that I saw him was on TV, and the announcers were talking about his velocity that day.
Maybe here, yeah. I mean, 90-91, you know, that's a tick above what we would call average.
Okay. So what's good about him, or you haven't seen him a lot, or you haven't seen him enough?
I've seen him a few times this year. He's pretty good. He's the same, you know, it's like Nakoshiro. He's found his command this year. He's pretty good command of two pitches, his fastball and his breaking ball, and his forkball is okay as well. And when you got a guy in short relief that gets hot with his command, he's pretty tough to square up.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about these young guys, and you talked about it a second ago. With the command, is that something that they can work to better as they go through the season, or is that something that's just going to be inconsistent because they're young?
Oh, man, that depends on the player. You know, you see some guys, you look at the Dodgers, Clayton Kershaw. I mean, the guy's the same age as these guys, and he won the Cy Young, you know. Mm-hmm. So it depends on the player. I don't know who the coaches are in Chiba, but, you know, maybe the pitching coaches there found a way to relate to some of these young guys. But, you know, Masuda, I've seen him a few times this year. I didn't really see him much last year, so I'm not sure what he was like beforehand and what he was like as an amateur. But you know, these are some guys in short relief that have gotten hot with their command, and you're going to have success anywhere with that.
Okay, last guy I want to mention is Takayoshi Kawabata, an outfielder. He was an eighth-round pick for the Oryx Buffaloes from the Corporate League. Now, why do you think he was such a late pick?
I saw him a few times in the Industrial Leagues, and for me, there wasn't a whole lot that stood out. He was a strong kid. You know, good build, strong lower. Had kind of a big swing, some length to it, but, you know, could generate a little bit of pop, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, overall, there wasn't really anything that separated him for me, so I didn't. I thought he was a guy that, for me, that was probably going to stay in the Industrial Leagues, but, you know, he took the pick, and now he's excelling with it. I haven't really seen him much with Oryx yet this year, but some of these guys are late bloomers, you know. Chono, for me, when he was with Honda, you know, I didn't see the type of player that he is now with the Giants. So
yeah.
Sometimes some of these guys come into their own a little bit later than everybody else. It's the same. It does Japanese, American, Latin. It doesn't matter.
All right. You think our Rookie of the Year is going to come out of this crop?
You know, I'm not sure. I think Dobayashi's probably got the best shot at anybody, just because his swing looks a little bit more sustainable than what the rest of the guys are doing.
Yeah, I really like his swing, and I.
And he's got some natural power.
And he's getting a chance to play, you know, without having to worry about results so much.
Right, he's going to play every day. Hiroshima usually does a pretty good job with their young guys. You know, they don't rush them. They wait for the right situation to put them into, and that has a lot to do with it, I think, especially when you're dealing with a first round pick that's a high school kid.
Well, I'm going to have to go and look up. I mean, we were talking about young players. I have to look up and make sure that Dobayashi is still eligible to be qualified as a rookie or not, because this is his third season. But
I'm not sure. I think last year was his first year up.
First year up, I think, is – I didn't look at all the numbers, and I forgot.
Not many at bats yet.
But we'll check and see. But we really appreciate you coming along and taking the time to join us this time. And hopefully we won't wait so long before we have you back again.
Yeah, man. No problem.
All right, man. Take it easy. All right. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. All right, Dave. Thank you very much again for being on the show.
Hopefully we'll get to see you sometime this year.
Yeah, I have bumped into him at a park when we didn't know that what games we were going to be at. And he hasn't gone to that many pro games, as he said in the interview, but I have caught him at, I think it was at Jingu, so.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so let's state for the record, I mean, I like, in the Central League, I like Yusuke Nomura of the Carp for Rookie of the Year, but I'm going to wait and see what happens.
What? So you like him, but you don't like him?
I like him. Right now he's the front runner. I wouldn't say he's a runaway. I think he's the front runner for me right now. And then I was already in the Pacific League to jump on Fujioka's bandwagon there, and then I looked in the numbers, looked at his numbers, and I'm like, you know, I'm not sure who's driving this thing. Now, he's lost three decisions in a row, but I don't really even worry about the wins and losses. I worry more about what I'm seeing in terms of he's given up a lot of hits. He's got a high batting average against both right-handers and left-handed batters. So I'm not really liking what I saw from him. But who do you like?
Well, I haven't seen, you know, this comes to the heading of I can't talk about anybody I've seen because I really have not seen anybody, to be honest. So I have to say, just looking at the consistency so far, I have to go with Nomura. He's just been very, he's bordered on, I should say he's varied from being really good to being pretty good.
Yeah, I think he's been pretty steady. I mean, his 4-3 record, the 4-3 record, I throw that out of the trash because the Cards don't score as much. Because his ERA is 1.78, and again, he's not giving up a ton of base runners. And what he does for me is he keeps the team in the game, and that's really what I look at.
It's hard to keep the, I mean, you could, you know, he'd keep a team in the game if it wasn't the Carp.
Well, he's even managing to keep the Carp in the game, if you ask me. I mean,
yeah. Let's put it this way. He gives them the best chance to win that they're going to get. I don't mean that as I really don't mean that as an insult, but they really don't have an offense. And they're trying, and I'll tell you, a couple of people have been pulling more than their load. One guy expected to pull more of his load about 3 years ago. Masato Akamatsu's been doing fairly well of late.
That's true. Yeah, didn't he hit a home run today?
He did indeed.
Yeah.
So he chilled.
Today meaning Sunday.
He's a very good player when he isn't hurt, which is often.
Yeah.
And some other things. So they do have players I like, but it is hard when your best player, the guys you depend on to put runs on the board are constantly getting hurt. And that's been the story of the Carp really for the last 2 years.
Yeah, getting hurt or just not producing in, you know, in run scoring situations. They just don't score a lot of runs and that makes it hard to have a good win loss record. But yeah, he's fairly strong with the ERA. He keeps them in games, as I said before. And I like the way he throws. He challenges guys. He looks like he's going to be good for a long time. So I would say, like I said, I think he's the favorite now. But I think possibly a teammate and another player, if he comes back and has a good second half, and I think that's Yosuke Miyaguni of the Giants.
Yeah, he's better after he had one start when she got hurt.
And we haven't seen him since.
And I hear he's been better. And he has, I like him too. Just what he's done on the farm team and what he's done on the little that he's done on the first team. So, yeah.
But the other player go ahead.
No, that's it.
The other player I think he's going to have, who could give him a good run for his money is his teammate, Shota Dobayashi.
Yep.
And I really like that kid. And as you could see as you maybe heard in the interview, I said his swing reminds me of Sakamoto's. And the more I see those two guys, I think if you put them together and switched uniforms, you'd be hard pressed to tell who's who. Just watching them move, they're really athletic. They're, as Dave said, tall and rangy, and they're really good hitters. And I think he's going to be good for a long time.
Well, Tobayashi is a yeah, he's been around a little bit, but he's he hasn't played. This is his first year in the big league. And the interesting thing with him is, well, the interesting, I thought Dave says interesting things sometimes, is that the Carp wait for guys to have chances. Now, that's interesting because some of that might be by design.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it might just be the Carp being disorganized. And that, And I say that not in a way that
not in the snarky way that it sounds, right?
Exactly, and I don't mean that in any sense of disrespect for Kenjiro Nomura, because you know I have difficulty understanding a lot of the things he does. Although I understand he's a very smart guy and he's a very eloquent guy, but the fact is that the Carp owner has an undue influence on who's playing and who isn't playing, who's on the roster and who isn't on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And if he likes people, you know, the guy, here's one guy that they waited about 5 years for.
5 years.
Was Shigenobu Shima.
Right.
And they waited for him because they were waiting for another team to take him off their hands. Then he got so hot in the spring that they couldn't send him down as they'd wanted to do.
Right.
They didn't keep him on the first team. He won the Central League batting championship.
Right. And that was his one good season, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was his one big season. He's not a great time. He has just a marvelous swing, but he's not very athletic and he puts on weight easily. And, it's hard to keep up what he was doing, but he had he was 27 years old at that time, and for a guy his size at 27, and he's really at his maximum part of his career right there. It's gone downhill steadily since then, but he's a guy he could have probably played when he was about 23, but they just didn't think enough of him. The Carp owner didn't really want him on the first team.
Well,
so they waited for him.
Yeah, they waited for him, but Dobayashi's been in there, and I think he hit a home run yesterday. I don't know exactly what he did today, meaning Sunday, but he's, like I said, I really like his swing, and I think he's going to develop into what Dave said. I don't know about the meat on his body part. All these guys, Sakamoto, I think he could eat, 10,000 calories a day and not gain a pound.
I think that's the new Carp thing. They want all the guys who look like, look like Spider-Man, who's been Spider-Man coming out of a death camp.
Come on. What about Fujioka with the Marines now?
I've not seen him. He started off the season red hot. People I know who have seen him, professional scouts who have seen him, tell me he's got dynamite stuff.
Yeah.
But he hasn't, been able to put things together the last, 2-3 weeks.
Yeah. Like I said, I was all ready to jump on the bandwagon and I saw things like, 30 walks in 70 innings and, 69 hits and just, I didn't like it. Now his ERA is kind of inflated. He's around 3.5, and that's in this environment. I think anything over 1.5 is in the mediocre range, and 3.5 is way too high. But he can right the ship. It's not that he can't do it. He's just going to have to push through. And we're already talking about this. Still the first half. Wait till he gets to the second half of the season, but. I think people are getting a book on the Marines. They're taking them seriously since they've been beating the brains out of most of the teams in the Pacific League. And I think people are just going to do more homework, look for tendencies, and he's going to have to make adjustments. And once he does that, he might get back on track.
Mm. Well, the other guy, I think, someone we're going to talk about the Pacific League, and I like Nomura too. I don't, I wouldn't worry too much about being specific about jumping on the bandwagon, jumping off the bandwagon. I mean, look, it's still June.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't mind changing my picks in the middle of anything. We all know that.
Did you already give up on the Giants, by the way?
No.
Because every week you pick a different team to win the pennant race. So
Stop it. It's not every week. It's every day.
That's true. It's every 10 days. It would be every week if we had a podcast.
It's every home run that I see them giving up every time.
Okay.
No, I don't change. I haven't changed. I haven't changed yet this season. So I'm
sticking
with the Lions. I think somehow they're going to crawl out of the grave and at least make the playoffs. And after
that, in this league. Yeah. Again, in this league, no problem with that. If Nakamura's never comes back.
Well, even without, they've been winning since he went out. So I think.
Yeah, well, that's what they do. That's what they do. They're the gutty little Lions.
The
know.
Gutty little Lions. All right. So who's the other guy in the Pacific League you like?
Well, Yoshino.
Kamata. Yeah, I like him too.
But you
haven't seen him, right?
No. I mean, all these guys.
None of them.
I've seen pretty much nobody. I've seen one guy I liked from the Tigers a little bit, but he's kind of a so-so. He doesn't have the other numbers. This conversation, from my point, comes to people I'd like to see. You know, people intrigue me, and Kamata certainly intrigued me. Like he got hit today for really the second time in his brief first-team career.
It's all of six games, I believe.
Yeah, but today was the second time he's given up three runs in a game.
Yeah. Yeah, he's still 18. That
was his pro debut.
Yeah, three innings, right, a three-inning debut. Yeah. He's still 18 years old. He throws, you know, I think he tops out at 153 kilometers per hour or so on the fastball. He has a good slider, I think, to keep guys honest, and he's not afraid to challenge people with his fastball, and he locates when he needs to. You know, he's kind of gets into trouble and then works himself out of it. But the thing I like most about him is after he won his first game, he said, "Hey, look, Masahiro Tanaka has the club record for wins, and I want to challenge that. I want to go after that."
Wow.
And he said that on the, you know, in the hero interview. And I'm like, wow, this guy, you know, what does he think, he's good or something? That was after one win, one or two wins. So he's only had three. And the other thing is he's only thrown in interleague. Today was his first game against Pacific League teams. So he was 3-0, and he'd only given up, what, four earned runs in 31.2 innings before Sunday.
Well, I don't think that really matters, because it's not a case of, you know, a lot of players, when they go into interleague, especially pitchers, depending on the player, you know, depending on their type, but for most pitchers, it's an advantage to be in interleague, because you're facing batters who really haven't seen you, or just not that comfortable, especially if their batters aren't comfortable against people they have to face.
Right.
The advantage to interleague is, if you're a hitter, is if you're one of those hitters who's just to see the ball, hit the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if it's all about your swing and what you're trying to do instead of what the other guy's trying to do, then interleague is going to separate you from, you know, it's going to separate the men from the boys. And
I agree. I just don't think that there's a lot of see the ball, hit the ball philosophy even in interleague. I think they still do a lot of data research and numbers, sabermetrics, best baseball.
It's down to individual players. Just the handful of Japanese guys that can do that who try not to think too much. It's hard not to think too much when the coaches are telling them to think too much.
Yeah. Exactly.
But my Gondo quote from the former Bay Stars manager
and current Dragons pitching.
That's right, Hiroshi Gondo is thinking and hitting are two different things.
I like that.
Think about hitting and you can hit, but you can't think about hitting and hit at the same time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. That's a good quote. I like him. And like I said last week on last week's show, I like what he's doing with the Dragons pitching staff. I don't know what it is.
Maybe he'll do to them what he did to the Kintetsu Buffaloes and kill every young arm in sight.
Nice. What about, let's go back to the Central League on that note.
I like him too, but it happened. It's the truth. You can't back away from it.
Yeah. What about Sho Aranami now? Dave said that, you know, he's just kind of a slap and run guy. that he's out of the corporate league, and he's, you know, sure. He played 28 games last season, so he is probably not a rookie.
He is not a rookie, no.
Yeah, he had too many appearances, but he's helping that team. I think that's the big deal.
Well, yeah, because any, you know, if you're a team that's, you know, essentially one of the worst teams in the league or worst teams in Japan, any player who's close to average is going to help you.
That's true. I mean, look at Nakamura Norihiro is the number three batter. I can barely get that out. I mean, this is a release guy.
He's having a good year.
He's having a good year, but I mean,
he had a good year last year, actually. But to be honest,
no, he wasn't terrible. It's true.
But you know, he's having a good year. He's a really phenomenal player to still have that much left at his age. But you know, in his body type, he's not Tomoaki Kanemoto. He's got a little extra, you know, luggage.
Yes, but he's gotten rid of some of the baggage in the past 3 years.
True. So somebody like Aranami's helping, you know, he wouldn't help the Giants, but he'll help the Bay Stars.
Yeah.
So he would be, if you put him on the carp, he would be, he wouldn't even know he was there. He'd just fit in with all the other slap hitting fast outfielders they
got. All the little cookie cutter batters that they have. Just put him out there, you wouldn't be able to tell him from the other ones.
It's like they're trying to play Where's Wally or something down there.
The good thing about him is I don't know how good it is, but he's hitting left-handers and right-handers at about the same clip, and 275 isn't bad. And, you know, this is the first year I can see him improving on a lot of areas. I don't know. Again, this is a guy I haven't seen live, so I can't tell you about his defense, but he's made a few good plays, so I know that he's got enough speed. And they've had him in center field, so I'm assuming I'm assuming if you got Hichori and some other guys who you know they can play the position, and you put Aranami out there, that he must be good.
If he's going to be playing center and pushing Morimoto. Although Morimoto, I wonder how much his defense has fallen by him just, you know, being hurt all the time.
Yeah, he's hurt. Yeah, I think that's.
I think his arm is it might be the issue. He can still fly, but. I don't think he can throw anymore.
Yeah, I think that's he's breaking down.
I wonder what's going on with him. But he's a great guy to have in your team. He's an enter. Him and Alex is like, they could do the bilingual Manzai, those two.
Let's go back to the Pacific League and look at a position player named Takayoshi Kawabata of the Oryx Buffaloes. Now, what do you think about this guy? I've seen him a few times on TV.
I think you have to put him in the category of, you have to extend the category of young players to guys who are already in their prime.
Yes.
He's really, now, that being said, there's no reason. It's harder for a guy to succeed when he's starting at that age, but it does happen.
Right. What is he, 26, 27?
I believe he's already 27.
Okay.
Which is probably the biggest, He's always going to be fighting an uphill battle. He doesn't have the great body type that's going to maybe see him through to being having a long career.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed. I kept writing about him on the blog, and I kept saying he got some big hits for the team. So I'm like, who is this guy? And then, I like to watch the news, and I don't watch just one channel. I'll flip to the next one and watch the highlights again. And I'm like, what is this little guy, he's got this little hip turn with his swing. And I'm like, you know, he's just generating a lot of power, but he hit some home runs for me. He got some other big hits. He got some other hits where he just kind of made contact and the ball flew to where there wasn't, you know, there were no defensive players, and not that he's impressive at all.
Well, you know, there's lots of ways, you know, he doesn't, you know, you can look at a player. And you can look at them all you like, and if you don't see something you like, you just still can't ignore the fact that they perform.
Exactly.
And this happens a lot. This happens a lot, you know, and this is the advantage of looking at, you know, you and I talk about this is the meat of so many of our discussions, is that the advantage of knowing what you're looking for in a player, or being able to spot different things, is great, because you can make judgments about, you can have some judgment about what a guy's done in a very limited exposure.
Mm-hmm.
However, the problem, the downside of depending so much on your judgment to the exclusion of all else, of what you see and say, is that you're also creating an enormous blind spot. You know, you create images of successful models. And if a guy doesn't fit your image of a successful model, those guys, you know, regardless of what they do, will never quite get up in your standards. Now, this happens all the time. It happens in the majors. It happens in Japan. A guy doesn't look like a player, so he doesn't get to play until by some accident somebody gives him a job because he keeps, you know, if it's a batter, he keeps getting on base or keeps hitting home runs. I mean, Takeshi Yamasaki was one of these guys, and in Moneyball, the reliever for the Oakland A's was one of these guys. You know, he doesn't look like he could get anybody out, and he's got a funky delivery, but all he does is get people out.
Yeah, if you concentrate on the results, you like what you see.
Yeah, well, see, that's the point, is that people will throw these guys out because they don't look right, because because if you're a scout, you really, really, really have to sharpen your ability to project what a player can do and try to look at the skill, certain skill types and, you know, swings and motions and all kinds of different elements you have to put into your model, and you really have to tune that. And I'm not saying anything bad about it, but part of building up, you know, investing that much energy is in not doing other things.
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So, you know, we all create blind spots regardless of what analytical tool we're using, whether it's data or whether it's sheer observation or ESP or whatever. The analogy is Japanese players going into the majors and saying imagine how good these major league players would be if they actually focused on fundamentals from a young age. So, well, if they focused on fundamentals from a young age, they'd be Japanese players, and they wouldn't be big guys. They'd be guys who all they do is run and bunt, because they'd spend no time at the gym. They'd spend all their time running and bunting.
Right.
It's a matter of what you do and how you prepare and how you look at the game that makes these players what they are to a large extent. They're not big and powerful and strong because they were born that way. They're big and powerful and strong because they made themselves big and powerful and strong in addition to their genetic makeup.
Right.
And Japanese guys are good at fundamentals because that's what they're taught to do, to the exclusion of being big and powerful and strong oftentimes.
Right. All right. Well put.
Enough ranting and raving.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go on to the Interleague MVP. Okay. Now, I don't, we don't,
Before
we talk.
That,
go ahead.
I do want to mention one guy, and this guy.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Don asked me to sort of, you know, well, who are the young players I look? So being a stats guy and not really having a lot of time recently to go to the park and watch things, I just created a little, you know, I just looked in my database for guys who were under the age of 27 who'd been in the league just a couple of years and weren't established. And it spit out some names, and I will mention just a couple of them. One of them is, hold on, get my little note sheet, my cheat sheet. A couple of them, a guy named Wataru Karashima of the Eagles. I don't have too much to say about him. Right now he's got no real role. In fact, neither of these two guys the first two guys I'm going to mention really have a role, except they've been successful. And the next guy is somebody who's really off the radar screen. I mean, he just won his first game this past week, I think, is Kim Mu-yong of the Fukuoka SoftBank Hawks. Now, Kim is...
Both of these guys are right-handed... Oh, no. Karashima is a lefty, right?
Karashima is a lefty.
And...
Kim is a right-hander.
Okay.
He's not a big right-hander, but he's not little either. He's basically when he did his amateur ball all in Japan, and he came through the industrial, Shikoku Island League.
And what did you say he does? All he does is...
People out. All he does is strike people out, not allow runs. He's had a little bit of shoulder, he's had some inflammation in his right shoulder, And I'm guessing they've been holding him back a little bit because of that, or he's been unavailable sometimes because of that. But this guy, if you look through his minor league records, he never has ERAs over 1 point something. He strikes out about one guy an inning in the minors. He just does in the Pacific League what he's done in the Western League. So, yeah, this is a guy I really want to see. I really want to talk to. Okay, a couple other guys I'll just throw out real quickly.
Okay.
In fact, I'll just throw out one, who is Ryo Hidaka of the Swallows.
Uh-huh.
He's pitched well today. He's pitched well, very well this season for him. And this is a 21-year-old kid. And so if you have a chance to see them, or, you know, look out for Kim and Hidaka in addition to the other people we already mentioned.
All these young guys. And, in fact, if you think we missed somebody, send in the name and tell us, hey, you left this guy off the list, and we'll address that guy too.
Well, we certainly missed somebody for sure, because that's the nature of the beast.
Well, there's some guys out there. I mean, Ken Togame with the Cebu Lions. I mean, he pitched 2 innings today, and I believe he got his first pro win. I mean, there's guys out there, but we're just talking about the guys we think are making impact with their teams right now. And but anyway, let's move on to the Interleague MVP.
The fiasco?
Fiasco, I guess, is another way to, I don't know. They're blowing it again, Jim. We don't actually know who picks this. I would like to say that it was the league itself.
Well, they didn't ask us.
But, yeah, it wasn't all the, as a writer, we didn't get anything.
Well, I often don't. Mailed
to us or emailed to us. So, they picked the Giants. Tetsuya Utsumi on the strength of his record, right?
Well, first of all, they have to pick somebody from the Interleague champion.
Obviously, because, you know.
No, that's just the rules. They have to pick somebody from the Interleague champion.
Okay.
And then they get 3 prizes. It's not quite 3 strikes and you're out, but they get an MVP from the Interleague champion, and then they get 2 other guys, usually one from each league, who win the Japan Life Insurance Award.
Yeah.
Which is worth 1 million yen. The MVP is worth 2 million.
Yeah, I mean, it's not so bad. And they did give Sugiyuchi the award.
He got the jelly
as the runner-up. Yeah, and then Mitsuo Yoshikawa of the Fighters, a guy I really like what he's doing this year. In fact, we wanted to talk to him, or at least I wanted to talk about him on the show last week, but we just didn't. There was no way to work him in, and we want to keep the show under an hour, so we're gonna have to speed up here. But anyway, so they blew this one. They blew this one. I wrote something down that I won't say, but they blew this like a
because you'd have to edit yourself,
right? Like they blew it like an ellipses, and you just fill in the blank yourselves. But you know, I think. What do I think? I think they have no. I mean, Sugiyuchi should have gotten it, whether or not he lost the game. I guess they just looked at the
fact
that Utsumi didn't lose any games, and that was it. But Seth Greisinger could have won the award.
I would have picked Utsumi over Seth.
Yeah, I would have picked. I don't know.
Because I'll tell you why. Because Seth was 3-0, and he had that superb ERA, but he also gave up 6. He allowed 3 earned runs, but he gave up 6 unearned runs. You know, you gotta get some credit for that as well. Now they didn't lose the games for him, but they didn't help either.
Yeah, but he only walked 6 and he struck out 22 in 32 innings. I mean, he can't help it if somebody hacked the ball up somewhere, man. You can't. That's like blaming Nomura for the fact that the Carp can't score. It's not his fault. He can't strike everybody out.
I agree that too. It's not his fault, but it's also, you know, how many times did errors put the guy on base, get him around the bases as well?
Well, that's the result of it. I mean, that's after the fact. He shouldn't have been on in the first place, in my opinion. But yeah, I mean, I didn't see the earned runs and how they came
over. Exactly, but that's a lot.
Another guy who did really well was Kenta Maeda, and I would have picked him. He's only 2-1, but 39 innings pitched, 36 strikeouts, and 9 walks. That's it. I mean, he was awesome. Okawari-kun. With the Lions, Nakamura,
good.
He had 12 home runs and 32 RBIs.
He should have gotten. And again, this is the thing right now. Everybody's, it's like the same thing that happened last year. It's, wow, aren't these pitchers great? Let's get a pitcher. pitchers are really amazing, aren't they? Let's get the best pitcher. The pitchers are really doing well, so the pitchers are all good, and the batters are all bad, so let's get the best pitcher, and he must be the best player.
I don't know what they look at. Somebody's got to make a call. Make a call. All right, let's talk about Hiroki Kokubo really quickly, because he got to his 2,000 hit plateau.
And congratulations to Hiroki Kokubo. That was a long time coming. He had to, you know about guys who like get to the last thing they need to achieve some great milestone in their career, and it takes them days or weeks. It took this guy a month.
Yeah, but it's not like he was playing every day. He got injured. In fact, he got to within one with a bad back, and he played through it. So at 40 years and 8 months, I don't think, you take chances with a bad back. If I was
young like him, I wouldn't take chances with a bad back neither.
Young and spry.
That's not some young 40-year-old whippersnappers.
Yep. So he joins Atsunori Inaba of the Fighters and Shinya Miyamoto of the Yakult Swallows, who also reached 2,000 hits earlier this year, so congratulations to him. Wasn't there a note you were going to add about
him? After the game, of course, the reporter, I was at Tokyo Dome today, and the reporters basically were asking everybody who ever held a bat to say something about Kokubo's 2,000th hit. They asked Hara, and I'm sure they asked, they waited on Getsu Gasawara, and whoever else was there, and Miyamoto had his 2,000th hit, so he said, congratulations, and glad he got it out of the way. And he said, a lot of people think that, you got your 2,000th hit, and you think when you get it that all your work is done, and then you realize that your cell phone is clogged up with emails and text messages. He said, you think you're going to be over this in a day, it takes you a week, and he said, I got 200 messages. I can't imagine how many Kokubo is going to get, because he was such a big player for so many years with, so many teams. And it's going to take him a while, but congratulations.
Well, good. It's nice to know that people care, at least. Sure. I had a milestone earlier in May, and nobody said anything. And I'm kind of disappointed about it, but oh, well. I'm not bitter.
No.
And I don't carry grudges. They're too heavy.
That's right. You got to work out if you're going to carry some grudges, dude.
All right, let's talk about a couple of injuries that have occurred now. Lim Chan Young, the Yakult Swallows reliever, was deactivated with elbow pain over the weekend. We never talked about the fact that Bobby Keppel for the Fighters, who was a friend of the show, has been ruled out for the season. We didn't get a chance to talk about that. And then you said Atsunori Inaba was deactivated as well.
Yeah, that was kind of ironic. He was the last guy to get 2,000 hits, and his team was playing Kokubo's. And Kokubo was, they announced he was going to be activated last night, or yesterday afternoon. And that had been the plan all along.
Mm-hmm.
And Inaba hurt his left ankle running the bases last night and came out of the game for a pinch runner.
Ouch.
And he was deactivated today, so we missed the chance of having him be there to congratulate Kokubo, which put a nice photo op.
Yeah, we're gonna have to look up and see how many times in one season we've had two or more players reach 2,000 hits.
Well, didn't Inaba get his 2,000th hit at Jingu Stadium?
No, that was Miyamoto.
Oh, they both, okay.
I don't remember where Inaba got his, actually.
Okay.
But I can look it up as we speak.
Okay.
One other note, did you get to see Chris Carter's first at-bat with the Lions on Saturday?
The guy who created the X-Files? Or that the guy who hid this Chris Carter from public view?
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? No, the Chris Carter who plays for the Lions, obviously.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen him play for the Lions. That's probably why I thought of the X-Files when you said that. I know he's on the roster.
Yes, he came up, and he got a pinch hit appearance on Saturday, and he was, I guess, Nabi Q told him he was going to bat in this particular inning. I don't know what inning it was, because I wasn't watching the game. I was just kind of flipping channels, and I saw some guy stalking in the dugout. And he's walking back and forth, and then he sits down, and it just looked like he wanted to eat bullets. It looked like he wanted to just chomp on a metal pipe.
Wow.
And he would sit down.
That, you know that look.
I've seen that look in the guy's eyes, yeah. He's just sitting in the dugout, and he's rocking like Leo Mazzoni. Okay. Remember the old Atlanta Braves pitching coach?
Yeah, sure.
Going crazy, chomping at the bit, and he gets up there with a runner at third and one out. All Nobby Q said was, you know, go that way, monster, you know. He pointed toward the plate and said, go ahead. So Carter gets in the batter's box, and what happens? He swings at the first pitch and pops it up.
Oh, poor guy.
I know. That's just got to be so deflating, but oh, well. It was something.
Right.
It was interesting.
Well, he's got some people on that. You know, he's got Jose Ortiz. He's been around, and Esteban Herman, who we talked about last week. And he's been, like I said, he's been sightseeing all over Cebu.
You're terrible.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, I'm still looking. I think. Well,
that's what we were looking for.
Yeah, I'm looking for the 2000th hit on my blog. It's not so easy to search. Anyway, I will keep looking, and we have a question from guess who?
Mike and Saitama.
That's right. Let's listen to it.
Hi, John and Jim. It's Mike, your Takorozawa correspondent once again, and once again loving the Lions after a great week of interleague play. My question concerns the Japan Baseball Hall of Fame. I went there last weekend and enjoyed the experience. It's a fascinating place, but was surprised to see that only one foreign player, Victor Starafin, is enshrined there. Now, I know other baseball halls of fame, such as the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame, enshrine foreign players like Pat Gillick or foreign contributors like Pat Gillick and Roberto Alomar. Why doesn't the Japan Baseball Hall of Fame enshrine foreign players? Surely to goodness there are a few who are deserving to be inducted into the Japan Baseball Hall of Fame, foreign players. Can you guys answer that? Thanks a lot. Bye.
All right. Thank you again, Mike, for always sending it. I like that. A correspondent, he said. You're a correspondent in Tokorozawa.
Absolutely. Well, he corresponds with us, so that corresponds to a correspondent.
Now, it was volume 2 of this year. Volume 2 is it. Show number 2 of this year that we talked about the Hall of Fame, and we discussed it at length. And if you want to go back and check out that show, I advise you to do so. We got a question from, I believe it was Claudio, and he asked who we thought was going to be the next foreign player to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And we thought it might be Boomer Wells, that he had a chance, and he didn't make it. We also think Tuffy Rhodes has a chance, and we think Alex Ramirez will be the guy. But yeah, if you want to go out and go back and check out that show, we talked about things at length. The Hall of Fame does induct foreign players. However, when I called the librarian and asked him how many foreign players were in the Hall of Fame, he could not answer the question because they don't ask the nationality of the players.
Well, that's
they
because in
was
Japan.
His, was his explanation.
Well, that's because in Japan there's two kinds of players, and foreign Japanese registered, domestically registered players and foreign registered players. And the way it stands now, of course, there'd never be any foreign registered players because after 9 years they make you a Japanese registered player. Will there be foreign registered players in the Hall of Fame? You know, the guy who I think should go would be former Chunichi Dragon, Genji Kaku.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, it's possible. It's possible.
And I think he would be a great choice, and I think Alex Ramirez, I think Tuffy Rhodes. I think Tuffy Rhodes should have won the Shoriki Award in 2001 when he tied Sadaharu Ohs' home run record, and he's such a positive guy, you know, to deal with all the nonsense that foreigners have to deal with and be so positive and hopeful for Japan, Japanese baseball, and want to be so much a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
That it is a shame that he left, you know, and he was in sight of his 2000th hit here in Japan. And he holds most of the records for foreign players. He just did an amazing job here. I think he really deserves the recognition. I think Kaku Genji deserves the recognition, and I think Alex Ramirez will deserve recognition as well.
Yeah, when he's done. When he's done. He's not done yet. And I think we still have a standing wager that he was not going to reach his 150 hits this year. So
153, I think.
He needed to get to 2,000. But, you know, it's a long season. We still have a second half. I'm just reminding you that we have a bit.
I think this is something that's could go down to the wire.
I would hope that it does. I hope because that means he's playing and being productive and
well,
that's
normally
good.
Normally he's been better in the second half than the first half, but I say normally.
Mm-hmm.
He did get off to a slow start, but he's sort of playing like normal now, which is your 1 to 2 hits a game. So
right. All right, thank you again, Michael. And like I said, Michael, I got my Michaels and my Mikes, and we just call you Tokorozawa Mike, man. That's what we like to call you. So. Tokorozawa Mike,
thank you very much for supporting the show and your constant and productive feedback.
We love it. Anyone else who wants to chime in, send your email or MP3 to yakyujohn@gmail.com, and we'll play it on the show just like we did with Mike's.
So keep listening. Thank you for listening and keep listening.
Thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week. Oh, and by the way, it was April 27th that Inaba got his hit against the Eagles.
It just seemed like it should have been a Jingu. Okay. Wishful thinking. Wishful selective memories, babe.
It was at Kleenex, at the Kleenex box.
Okay.
All right, everyone. Have a good week and enjoy your baseball.
Ciao.